everybody that I've talked to at Ravinia last year who was there having a good time, they all had such positive things to say.
That's great.
They love the talent that was there. The shows that I went to, you got a huge turnout for them. So congratulations on your continued success.
Well, knock wood, right? And hope that can continue.
Oh, totally.
You just never know. But
yeah.
Man, is it a fun place to work. As I've told you before, I'm just the luckiest guy in the world. Such a beautiful place, such a great staff, such a marvelous audience who are adventurous and hungry for new things, and they want the standard things, and they want the traditional things, and, you know, but they're willing to take a chance, whether it's on a pop artist they've never heard of, or a classical piece they've never heard, or, you know, whatever it might be. It's pretty cool.
It's nice that you have such a variety. You appeal to, like, all tastes.
I was
really impressed with last year was, you know, lead singer Switchfoot did like a street show outside of the gates. That was really cool. I'd never experienced anything like that before. So, what you got going on this year?
Well, there's a lot of wonderful stuff, a lot of artists who I've been trying to get for a long time, which we'll talk about. But first and foremost, this is the centennial year of the most important classical musician America's ever produced and probably ever will produce in our time, and maybe that the world's ever known, Leonard Bernstein. And not only because of his extraordinary output as a composer, you know, from West Side Story to his three symphonies to the Serenade for violin, which is basically a violin concerto, all the songs, et cetera, et cetera. He also was a great pianist, an amazing conductor who rediscovered or renewed a lot of standard work and unknown work for the classical canon. He was America's music teacher, no question about that, when you think about a 10-plus year run of primetime television about classical music, I mean, we can't even conceive of that today, you know? But to be on CBS every night at 8 o'clock, every week at 8 o'clock, I mean, it's just kind of astonishing. But, of course, that was his charisma. That was his passion. That was his huge brain. And teaching was hugely important to him. So when I say America's music teacher, I really mean that. So many people I know, including kids today, who are watching the Young People's Concerts that were televised, they're watching them on the internet, on the websites that are available, on even on VCR sort of machines, old stuff, really staggering. And then the last piece, the sort of fifth facet of this extraordinary man, was his social humanitarian bent, his social equality focus. Someone who put quite deliberately and very controversially African-Americans into his shows in the 40s with white and black people dancing together in On the Town. Doesn't seem radical at all today, but at the time, hugely so. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover had a 1,000-page FBI file on Bernstein. I don't know if that's a badge of honor or a mark of disgrace for our country, but this was hugely important to him, and especially later in life, as he did so much work around AIDS, as he was always bisexual. So sort of soup to nuts in terms of that, anti-Vietnam War. I'm playing a little concert of his vocal music with a young lady who is an alum of our vocal program here, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary. This thing did another big milestone.
Oh, what's the name of that vocal program?
It's the Ravinia Staines Music Institute. So it's our piano and strings, jazz, and singers programs that started with piano and strings 30 years ago, and then we added voice and jazz after that. Lots of exciting things happening in all of that arena. Lots of free performances, some commissions. We have a competition in the jazz arena that I'm really excited about. And then there are just so many alums who are playing, quote-unquote, regular concerts within the confines of the festival who've become big stars. So we're very proud of that and want to show that off. There are great programs like this at Tanglewood and at Aspen and at Interlaken, but the Ravinia program, which is the youngest of all of those, is going great guns. And Bernstein would have loved it. He tried to start his own program like that at the Hollywood Bowl back in the 80s, and it never really took off for a variety of reasons that are silly to go into. But this extraordinary man who are celebrating through the curatorship of a wonderful conductor named Marin Alsop, a few female conductors out there today, and his last protege, and only female protege. So she's helped me for the last 4 years put together this summer from a standpoint of classical music, both the Chicago Symphony and our smaller theater chamber music and recital offering. Just a lot of really cool stuff. And as I say, I mean, so many of us who work in this business were inspired by him, but it's every facet of this extraordinary human being that we want to celebrate. And we'll probably do it over several years. There's too much to do in the constraints of one summer, and there's so much to celebrate. And in a lot of ways, Sharon, he's kind of a mirror for what we are musically, because he was a you know, acclaimed Broadway composer. He wrote pop songs. He loved the Beatles and Simon and Garfunkel, talked about that all the time. He was the teaching part, which is a huge part of the Ravinia mantra and philosophy. It's so interesting to hold him up and say, yeah, we do that. Yeah, we do that. But I'm not sure we would have been doing it, quite frankly, without his power and his celebrity. Think of a conductor today who would have been hobnobbing with, you know, Paul McCartney and the Kennedys and the Black Panthers. And this was quite a force. He did an anti-Vietnam concert with a whole huge list of stars, he and Paul Newman. This is in the late 60s. Paul Newman, he co-hosted it, and he wrote a song for Barbara Streisand. That kind of thing, which kind of gives me goosebumps and makes me feel like, where did all that go? Because we don't have that today. We've got wonderful conductors. We've got the greatest musicians in the world around us, but not that kind of phenomenon. So, as I say, we want to dig deep into all of that greatness. And, of course, the music is the place to begin.
Is Ravinia, I should say, having a concert for him or several?
Ooh, lots of concerts. Lots and lots of concerts. So, great question. So, at our Staines Music Institute, the vocalist will be doing all of his songs over a couple of concerts. We're doing his gigantic music theater piece called Mass, which Jackie Onassis commissioned to open the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. in the early 70s. That's really the mega event. Hundreds of people on stage, Chicago Symphony, rock musicians, rock singers, classical singers, full concert choir, children's choir. It's just a really astonishing piece that many people thought was a bit of a mess, more than a mass, when it opened, and now it's largely believed to be his masterwork. We're doing his serenade, his first symphony, Jeremiah, and then we're doing work by composers that, without Lenny, I don't think we would have today in the way that we do. Mahler being at the top of the list, but also Shostakovich and Stravinsky, Aaron Copland's music, people that he was great friends with, people whose music he loved, people who we thought were great teachers, and then the kind of forgotten works of Mahler. It's hard to believe when he started doing all the symphonies in the 50s and 60s that they really weren't being done that often. And now they're a regular part of what we think of as the classical canon. So lots of good stuff going on. His daughter, he has three kids who are with us, and his eldest daughter is coming to do a program of anecdotes and music in Bennett Gordon Hall for us, and she'll do some talks as well. She's also going to narrate her own young people's concert, all using her dad's music, which has not been done before. It's exciting. That's in July, sort of mid-season. So lots of cool things.
Amazing, the social awareness that Leonard Bernstein had. I was a little ignorant to that. I did not know that.
Many people don't, and there's good reason. You know, when someone is a celebrity conductor, but also, as you know, in the classical world, it's such a world of kind of rarefied air and, dare I say, arrogance and elitism, and sort of ivory towerishness. And he was criticized for writing beautiful music, writing tonal music. This is the 50s, 60s, 70s when everything was difficult and everything was 12-tone and everything was dissonant. But he stuck to his guns, not only with his own output, but also with his other American composer friends and Europeans. But the social piece, hugely important. I mean, like I said, I'm playing this song. It's called So Pretty, that was written specifically for Streisand and then for Lenny to play for her at an anti-Vietnam War benefit. It was actually a benefit to raise money for congressional candidates who were anti-Vietnam War. And that's why they had all these superstars. It was done at Lincoln Center in the 60s. And the song is absolutely stunning. And I'd never heard of it until 2 weeks ago. So it's exciting to discover something new and fresh that you didn't know anything about from someone who's had such a gigantic impact. And I really want to make sure that the whole world is celebrating him. That's his fame, that's his power, that's his legacy. But I really want to do a lot of it at Ravinia, especially for kids, because I'm not sure in my lifetime we'll see another sort of superstar, you know, firecracker like this career and this impact. It's sad to say that, but you just never know. So let's take advantage of the moment, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all those things made him very special. Do you think he was such a superstar because of his musical talent and because of his social awareness and what he did, like an activism sort of thing? Or
I think it was all of that. And because another thing that I think I lose sight of, and I should know better, is that he was the first great American conductor. All the conductors were European, all of them. That kind of makes sense. You know, if you think of the classical music canon, it's European music, right? It's Bach and Beethoven and Ravel and Debussy and Shostakovich and Mozart, Rachmaninoff. So that makes sense. So here's this guy who at 25 years old makes his unexpected New York Philharmonic debut and just takes off like crazy. All unbelievably thrilling. And I think the excitement around that then, and he's a good self-promoter as well, handsome. You know, all of that figures in. One can't discount those pieces of someone's fame, whether it's a movie star or a politician or a musician or a visual artist or a sculptor. All of that is relevant. It's just that we've never had anybody like that before, and we haven't seen anybody like that since, except perhaps in his young years, because he's in his 30s. You've probably heard of a conductor in Los Angeles named Gustavo Dudamel.
Well, I heard of him from you last year,
yeah,
and I learned about him through you.
Him, right?
Yeah.
Because the government of Venezuela canceled the tour that he was taking with his kids. Well, he's going to make his Chicago Symphony Orchestra debut at Ravinia this summer. He's conducted the CSO before, but never at Ravinia. So it feels kind of perfectly aligned that, you know, Bernstein Centennial, even though we're going to celebrate many over a couple of years, but this is the actual year that Dudamel would be coming to us for the first time. Just thrilling. I maybe overweight the impact and the significance of that, but I do believe that the stars align for a reason, you know. And Gustavo is, I mean, this is charisma like crazy. I just heard him do the piece Mass that I was just describing to you that we're going to do this summer. He did that in L.A., and it was just phenomenal. And he's a nice guy, and he's writing music for Hollywood, and his wife's an actress, and he's the basis for that, I think it's a Netflix show, maybe Amazon show called Mozart in the Jungle. He's the model for the conductor in that. And it's interesting to see that it's not an American, but it's a Venezuelan, a Latin American. So Gustavo is also big on the teaching part because he comes out of the Sistema programs out of Venezuela. He's the superstar person, though there are other musicians who are coming out of that now. It's been going on for 40 years. A program that was all about social justice and taking kids off the dangerous streets of Caracas, putting instruments in their hands and having them sing. Extraordinary thing like what were done in the civil rights movement in the U.S., certainly in Chicago, the Chicago Children's Choir. It wasn't meant to be a choir, it was meant, but it is, of course, a wonderful musical organization, but it was really about putting black and white kids together at a challenging time in America. So I love all this stuff. I love the music. There's no question about that. And music is pure and stands on its own, and one can look at it, you know, in the clear light of day and enjoy it for what it is. But I do think the background of someone like a Bernstein might attract, instill in somebody who might not have looked at classical music to take a look. You just never know what's going to hit people.
Now, you answered my question before I was going to even ask it about Gustavo Dudamel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he came up through the Sistema program out of Venezuela, and you told me that last year. Yeah, because he was supposed to come last year, so got canceled.
He was doing a tour with the National Youth Orchestra of Venezuela, and the president of Venezuela and Maestro Dudamel got into a little bit of a contretemps because the president of Venezuela was really cracking down on the people of Venezuela. At least that was Gustavo's take. I'm not a Venezuelan. I've never been there. I don't really know, but that was the situation. So Maduro, the president, canceled the tour. He was supposed to go to Wolf Trap in Berkeley and Hollywood Bowl and to us. And so sadly, it didn't happen. But we're thrilled to have him with the Chicago Symphony and the hugely remarkable pianist, Yuta Wan, who the Sting's alum, our summer conservatory, is super exciting pianist. And the two of them together, I've seen them do Bartok and Rachmaninoff and all sorts of things. It's really an event. That's an old Beethoven program coming up.
Just as a quick side note, what happened in Venezuela that has allowed him now to come here? Do you know?
Well, he doesn't actually live in Venezuela anymore, so he lives in Los Angeles. I think he might have another outpost in Berlin or London, and I'm sure there's a home in Caracas still. But it wasn't so much that he wasn't allowed to leave, it was his student kids who made up the orchestra that was supposed to tour last summer. They were not allowed to. Plus, we were getting worried that Trump, Mike Pence, went to Venezuela and said that we were going to attack them. You know, crazy talk. You know, who attacks Venezuela? It's not what you do in a diplomatic situation, a political situation. Nevertheless, that came up, and that really angered the Venezuelans. I can understand why. And so we thought maybe, if this orchestra is allowed to leave Venezuela, you know, might they find themselves in a precarious position politically? Might they be used as a kind of political football, you know, between the U.S. government and the Venezuelan government? So it may have been a blessing, as disappointing as it was, that they were unable to travel. And they'll come some other time.
You guys do the Sistema program, the Ravinia Sistema program. That's still going on?
Absolutely, growing all the time. So we're hoping to start New Nucleos. It's basically the name for a site where one does this work. So we have one in the Austin neighborhood. We have one here at Ravinia. We're hoping to open one up in Lawndale. And the sky's kind of the limit, because it not only is a great way to bring music to kids, it's a great way to bring their parents to it as well, right? Because they're dropping them off for rehearsals and really engaged in something that is so intense. Maren Alsop, our curator for the Bernstein Summer this summer, she does a huge system of program herself at the Baltimore Symphony, where she's the music director. So it's kind of all nicely connected.
Very cool.
Yeah, no, exactly. It is cool. I mean, only because we had no idea the impact and the fast impact that it would have. We knew Sistema was a wonderful thing to be doing. Time intensive, expensive, and all very well worth it. We just didn't know how quickly it would take off here. And of course, we've got these beautiful facilities, many of which are not well used in the wintertime, right? So it's great to have these facilities used by kids. And I love the fact that kids come and play in our halls, because you know, you can play in your music room at your school or your multipurpose room at your school. It's not the same as playing in a professional theater. And there's a ramping up of excitement and desire to do well that comes with that environment.
What else did you want to mention in terms of what you guys got planned for this year?
Janine's 30th and the Bernstein 100th are big. We've kind of covered the waterfront on those, which is great. It's just that you and I had discussed those in pretty good detail. So moving on from Bernstein and Stange for the moment, I really would like to point out a piece called Considering Matthew Shepard. 2018 is the 20th anniversary of the murder of Matthew Shepard in Laramie, Wyoming. And of course, he became a martyr within the gay rights movement. Hideous situation all the way around. Wonderful group out of Texas, Choral Instrumental, have created a piece called Considering Matthew Shepard. We'll be doing the Chicago premiere of that piece in September. We also have the Los Angeles Master Chorale coming to do a Renaissance masterwork, the Italian of which I cannot repeat because I'll mangle it, but it's in English, Tears of St. Peter's. Absolutely glorious piece. That's also going to be in September. And then we have the debut of Sugarland, a band I've been trying to get here for a long time. We have the debut of Jason Mraz, a singer I've been trying to get here for a long time. We've got concert performances of The Who's Tommy with Roger Daltrey, which we've already announced, but very exciting to have an icon of rock and roll like that, and in that particular work. Plus, Greatest Hits of The Who on that same performance, two performances of that. We're doing a 50th anniversary of Jethro Tull, always a perennial favorite at Ravinia. Miss Diana Ross coming back to us after her debut a couple of summers ago. Angelique Kidjo, one of my favorite singers, she's coming with Femi Kuti. Lots of great chamber music concerts, lots of low-priced classical concerts, $10, $25 to enjoy the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. There's so much, Sharon. I'm sorry. I'm kind of bouncing around here in terms of how the season gets laid out. Pretty exciting. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Whoopi Goldberg in her debut at Ravinia. So a comedy evening with her. I'm very excited about that. Been working on that for a long time as well. Lots of great Baroque music. I'm an astonishingly gifted guitarist named Milos, who was with us a couple of years ago. He's coming back to play a recital in the Martin Theater. Do you know Lindsay Sterling?
No, I don't.
So Lindsay is a super gifted violinist who does kind of rock and roll violin and mashups as well. She's going to be with the band Evanescence. They're collaborating together with an orchestra.
That's
going to be the debut for both of those at Ravinia. Very excited about that. Jill Scott coming for the first time. Alison Krauss is coming back. Jackson Brown's coming back. Emerson String Quartet. Audra McDonald is our gala soloist with the Chicago Symphony. Lots of fun stuff, lots of summertime stuff, lots of super serious things like the Bernstein Centennial in general and the Matthew Shepard piece. But as you said earlier, you know, something for everyone. That's what we really try for.
Thank you so much, Wells.
A pleasure to talk to you always. Take care, Sharon.